your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, October 28th, 2021. Your boy Q here, getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the end of the month. Pretty soon, we'll be talking about Halloween, and then we'll be talking about the first of the month for November, but still got a couple days before that. But man, I'll tell you, these days are sure are flying by. I'd like to thank everyone for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. And remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Also, today's episode is being brought to you by McDonald's. They've been proudly serving community since 1965. And McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get great, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. Big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Tell you all about McDonald's a little bit later on in today's show. Speaking of today's show, coming up on the show, segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's coming up in segment number three. Segment number two, owner Mark Davis, Raiders owner Mark Davis, met with the media at the owners' meetings on Wednesday, actually Tuesday and Wednesday, but met with the media on Wednesday officially, sat down in a big chair, and let a lot of reporters talk to him. And so I got my hands on the audio, a lot of really good stuff. I played it on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Wednesday afternoon, about 12, 13 minutes, and I want to play it for you here today just because I think some really good stuff. I don't always like to play, you know, the same audio that I had maybe on the radio show, but I think that this is some really good stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and do that coming up in segment number two. I want to shout out to my guy, Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News. He covers the Giants, just covers football in general, does a great job. He actually had this audio on his Instagram page, and then he joined me on my radio show on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Wednesday to talk all about it. So yeah, you'll hear Mark Davis speaking to the media coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, just give you the news and the notes of the day as I always do. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Off top, tell you about wide receiver Willie Snead. He was a guy that I talked about on Wednesday's show. He was going to be released, or he was released by the Raiders. Well, it became official on Wednesday. And then immediately following that, the Panthers signed him to their practice squad. So Willie Snead was not without a job for very long. Raiders let him go. He asked for the release. His agent asked for the release because he wasn't getting very much playing time with the Raiders because of the youngsters. Talking about Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards and Hunter Renfrow and Zay Jones, they were all out playing him, so he wasn't getting a lot of burn anyway. So he asked for the release, they did it, they granted it, and boom, he gets a deal with the Panthers, assigned to their practice squad immediately. So Willie Snead is now a member of the Carolina Panthers. Also on Wednesday, I thought this was really cool, it was announced that Yannick Ngakoue was winner of Defensive Player of the Week for the AFC. The write-up said Ngakoue registered 4 tackles, 2 passes defense, 2 third-down sacks in the Raiders' victory over Philadelphia. It's the first ever Defensive Player of the Week award for Ngakoue. He becomes the first former University of Maryland player to earn the award since linebacker DeQuell Jackson did in 2014. And then, how about you take this nugget a little bit farther? With defensive end Max Crosby earning the honor in Week 1, the Raiders joined the Bills and the Cardinals as the only teams this season to have multiple players earn Defensive Player of the Week honors. That's pretty cool, and it's funny, I got a tweet from Charles. He's on Twitter at C-E-R-R-I-G. So can't remember the last time we had 2 different players take this award in one season, and we still have a bunch of games left and more gelling of the defensive units to go. And I'll say this, Charles, I believe you got to go all the way back to 2016. Khalil Mack, he won Defensive Player of the Week multiple times, and Irvin, I believe he got it once. Derek Carr got it once that year. Marquette King got it once that year. So think about this. The Raiders have already had, what, 4? Because Derek Carr won, Daniel Carlson won, Max Crosby won, and now Yannick Ngakoue. So they already have had 4 Player of the Week awards so far through 7 weeks of the regular season. And that is one of the reasons why they're sitting at 5-2. Not the award, but because they're playing at that kind of a level. So going back to Yannick Ngakoue real quick, he met with the media following Sunday's game, their win over the Philadelphia Eagles. And since, you know, we're talking about awards and talking about these guys playing really well on the defensive side of the ball, and both him and Max Crosby winning Defensive Player of the Week awards already so far this season, I wanted to play a couple sound bites from Ngakoue. The first one was on Max Crosby, how much they've helped each other, push each other in practice and in games.
Absolutely. That's my brother. I'm going to speak on how he's helped me. He's helped me the way we practice. We always compete with each other, from our get-offs to how clean we eat, all the way to how much extra work we put in after practice. If you watch practice, we're the last 2 guys to leave. And I always notice him looking at me and trying to figure out how he can compete. And I'm always doing the same thing, trying to look at him to figure out how I can compete. And that's what I love about him. He's a guy that bust his ass every day. I see a lot of myself in him, and that's why he's having tremendous success.
So I know I played that the other day, but I replayed it because he said, hey, we push each other in practice. We push each other in games. You know, we always are trying to one-up each other. And so he was immediately asked that if Max's big day that he had against the Denver Broncos a week ago helped push Yannick Ngakoue in his game against Philly. This was an awesome answer. Check it out.
Absolutely. Like I said, man, that's like my brother. We push each other all the time. We're trying to be a dynamic duo. And, you know, we want to be like the greats, like the Vons and the D-Wares and guys like that. So we push each other each and every day. And that's what it is.
So not a long, detailed answer from Yannick Ngakoue, but it was answer enough, right? It lets you know exactly what these guys are doing. Max Crosby goes out and balls out of control against the Denver Broncos, and Ngakoue says, okay, I see you, Max, and I'll raise you. You know, and he goes out there and balls out. That's what you need. You need that inner competition. And it's not anything bad. It's not trying to make the other guy look bad. It's just trying to elevate each other. That's what you need. If you want to have a successful team, you always want somebody. I always want somebody that's trying to one-up or push me a little bit more to be great. That's exactly what I want. So I thought that was cool, and I thought it was a great answer there from Yannick Ngakoue. I also got a text from Brent in Boston. He said, hey, Q, it's Brent from Boston. With so many guys on prove-it deals, who can we not let get out of the building? Also, fifth-year options. Who gets picked up after this year? Enjoy the bye week. Go Raiders. That's from Brent in Boston, and I included that text in this segment because I wanted to talk about fifth-year option guys anyway. There's three of them coming up in the offseason. I mentioned them the other day. Clee Ferrell, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Abram. And I know some people didn't like what I had to say about, you know, these guys and the first-round picks and how some of these guys probably won't get picked up, their fifth-year options. There's reasons to that. I'm not just throwing it against the wall and saying, oh, okay, this guy, I don't like him, so he's not going to get picked up. That's not the case at all, because really I like all the guys that have their options coming up in the offseason, including Clee Ferrell. But this is the criteria, or this is what happens when the fifth-year option gets picked up. Upon being exercised, the fifth-year option is fully guaranteed. Any base salary in the player's fourth year that was not fully guaranteed will become so. So remember that. Just remember that, and this is why I base my answer off of that. I don't base it off of, you know, what I like or what I think, or just, like I said, throwing something against the wall and hoping it sticks. It's really, there's some thought goes into it. So, Clee Ferrell, let's go there first. I say no, his fifth-year option is not going to get picked up. He was the number four overall pick. What will his fifth-year option be? $10.3 million fully guaranteed. That's a one-year deal, $10.3 million. And this one is a basic fifth-year option. And what is a basic fifth-year option? Players who do not meet any of the requirements below will be eligible for a fifth-year base salary calculated from the average of the third to the 25th highest salaries at their position over the past five seasons. So basically, that rolls out to $10.3 million. There's no way that the Raiders are going to pay $10.3 million for Clee Ferrell, who barely even gets on the field these days, right? Regardless of who the defensive coordinator is, I just don't see $10.3 million being picked up. So that's one guy done. Now, Josh Jacobs, this is the one that everyone got sensitive about, almost like I didn't like Josh Jacobs. I really like Josh Jacobs. Anyone who's listened to this show for any amount of time, when Josh Jacobs was still in Alabama, I was pounding the table for him. And many people, including my guy Raider Allen Georgia, was like, yeah, but it's a running back, Q. Yeah, but he hasn't really ever been the workhorse. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different people that gave me reasons why Josh Jacobs shouldn't have been a first-round running back, and I was thrilled when he was. And I still am happy that he's a Raider, and I want him to be very successful, and I want him to be a Raider for as long as possible. With that being said, his fifth-year option, $10.1 million. He's had one Pro Bowl appearance. So what that means is players who are named to exactly one Pro Bowl on the original ballot, not as an alternate, will be eligible for a fifth-year base salary equal to the transition tender at their position. That's $10.1 million. That's why when I questioned it the other day, that's why. That's a lot of money. $10.1 million for 1 year for a running back who has not played a complete season yet. I'm just saying, what do we always say? What do I always say? Your best ability is availability, right? Unfortunately for Josh Jacobs, he just has not been available. He's not played one complete season yet, and obviously this season he can't. And who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if he plays against the Giants? It's just one of those things. There's a reason why they spent the coin that they did to bring in Kenyon Drake. They wanted to have a top-notch insurance policy, a 1-2 punch, of course, but they wanted to have an insurance policy as well. So I definitely want them to bring him back. I definitely want him to be a Raider as long as possible. I just don't see them paying $10.1 million. I don't see them picking up that fifth-year option. I see them letting him play out his contract, his four-year deal, and then maybe trying to renegotiate with him, maybe give him a two- or three-year deal, but I don't see them picking up $10.1 million for 1 year. Nah, I don't see that. And that's for Josh Jacobs. Now, the final one that they have to make the decision on is obviously Jonathan Abram. He was the number 27 overall pick in 2019, and he's going to get a fifth-year option on play time. And so what's the definition of play time? These players will be eligible for a fifth-year base salary calculated from the average of the third to the 20th highest salaries at their position over the first five seasons, over the past five seasons, excuse me, provided that their snap counts over the first three seasons meet one of the following three criteria: 75% or greater in two of their first three seasons, an average of 75% or greater over all three seasons, 50% or greater over all three seasons. So basically what that boils down to is about $7.9 million fifth-year option. And believe it or not, I could actually see them picking that one up. $7.9 million, I could see them spending that money, giving him that fifth year, and seeing if he takes off. He's really playing well this year, being the third year of his deal. I could see them doing that. I really could, especially if he continues to go on the trajectory that he is so far this season and then goes out and they feel like that they really have something they could build on, him and Trayvon Merrick, they could build at the back end. Then I could definitely see that. And $7.9 million is a lot easier pill to swallow than 10.3 for Cleve Ferrell or 10.1 for Josh Jacobs. And as much as some people might not want to hear it, that's the reality of it. And that's why I say that I'd be surprised if a lot of these fifth-year options get picked up. Of course, the season after that, you'll be talking about Damon Arnett and Henry Ruggs. And obviously, Henry Ruggs is the only one that you're going to be talking about. You're not talking about Damon Arnett. I'll be shocked if he's on the squad. That's one guy I don't believe will even play for the Raiders in 2022. Coming up in segment number two, you're going to hear Mark Davis as he met with the media in New York at the owners' meeting. Really good stuff. About 10 good minutes, Mark Davis and the media talking all things John Gruden emails, how he's feeling, how the Raiders organization is feeling. You'll hear all that next. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about a couple great sponsors here on the show, including McDonald's. And I told you at the top of the show that the episode was being brought to you by McDonald's, and they've been proudly serving communities since 1965, and they have way more than just a place to get great food and affordable food. It's a place where friends and families all go to reconnect. It's a place where classmates meet up with study groups. It's a place where they get dependable Wi-Fi, endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates and competitors, home team and away team, can go and recharge. It's a place you always look forward to stopping and rest your legs and refuel. I remember back in the day when I was living in Pittsburgh, California, I used to play basketball Saturday mornings at Los Medanos College, and my dad would have me out there running drills. And after that, boom, we go by McDonald's, get that Egg McMuffin. And I told you before, he always brought that slab of Swiss cheese in there and threw it on there as well. Brought that from his own secret stash. But McDonald's was our hot spot, and I'm sure it's your hot spot too. So if you want to make some new memories, plus have some really good taste in food, head to your local McDonald's, refuel and reconnect. Give me that Egg McMuffin and throw a slab of Swiss cheese on there. You'll have your boy singing, ba-da-ba-ba-bop, I'm loving it. I probably won't sing it like that, but I'll try. You know what I'm saying? That's how I get down. I also want to tell you about rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for over 20 years. What I love about rockauto.com is they help save you a lot of money. Yeah, it's real easy to go to the website, and it's real easy to get the parts you need for your car, your truck, your SUV, whatever it is. Yeah, that's all simple. But end all be all, what everyone cares about the most is the price. Everyone wants to save money. Everyone always looks for the best deals online, right? RockAuto.com, they have them for you. Not to mention, they have every single kind of part that your car could need. They even have new carpet. If you need carpet in your car, they got you. Motor oil, tail lamps, brake parts, everything you need, large or small, they got you covered like an old school Jimmy hat. Check them out today, rockauto.com. There's a box that said, how'd you hear about us? Just write the Locked On Raiders podcast. You do that, they know I sent you. I'm doing my job, and, well, they'll be happy with me. All the parts your car is ever going to need is at one spot. That's rockauto.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to hear from Raiders owner Mark Davis. He did not speak to the local media following everything that shook out with John Gruden and the emails and the resignation and all that good stuff. Now, he did make a statement to Paul Gutierrez from ESPN.com just saying, hey, I have no comment. Ask the ESPN. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers. And that was it. And a lot of folks said, hey, want to hear from the owner. Want to hear from the owner. Well, Wednesday was the second day of the owners' meetings in New York City, and he sat down and talked with a bunch of different reporters, including Pat Leonard from New York Daily News. He covers sports. He covers the Giants, covers the NFL like a glove. Had him on my show on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Wednesday. He had this whole media session on his Instagram account with Mark Davis and all the different reporters there in New York City. So here it is right here, Raiders owner Mark Davis and different reporters at the owners' meetings on Wednesday.
A couple of weeks since John resigned. Your feeling of how all that played out, though, the emails becoming public, all of it?
Well, I don't want to get into all of it, but, you know, the Raiders have always stood for diversity, inclusion, social justice. It's in our DNA. The emails that John had sent didn't reflect that. I've never seen John exhibit any of those things in practice with the Raiders. But just the he's no longer the coach of the Raiders. It was something that had to be done. It didn't represent what the Raiders stand for.
It seemed like at the time like you were a little upset with the way the league handled it.
Well, I'm not going to get into that right now, but it's a timing issue. And that's probably what the disappointment at my head I had.
The fact that it happened in the middle of the season?
The fact that they may have known about it a couple of months beforehand and didn't let us know that. We weren't informed until, I guess it was that Thursday, heard it from the Wall Street Journal initially, and it was a rumor. They wouldn't give us the email at that time. The Wall Street Journal wouldn't. We spoke to the league later on that afternoon, and by Friday they started giving us all the information, spoke with the commissioner and those things. But I believe that if we'd have gotten the information earlier in the in the summer, when they learned about it, it would have been a lot easier for everybody involved.
Do you feel like you were treated unfairly, like based on
No, I'm not going to get into any of that. We're Raiders. You know, we're used to this, and that's just about what our life is about. But it is disappointing, and just the whole thing with John, that's just life.
How do you think generally the league has handled the Washington football team investigation and the fact that John so far is the only person?
I can't get into that because the only thing we've seen is the emails that John had. And we haven't seen any of the others and anything else. So that's basically what what I had said initially was that, ask the NFL. They've got all the answers. We really don't. So,
do you accept the punishment of the Washington football team? I know you don't want to get into it, but just...
I didn't get punished, so I don't know if I accept anything. I honestly don't know. These things are, they're fluid. And
would you like a written report to be able to decide on your own?
As far as what happened with Washington?
Correct.
I'm not so sure that that's my focus per se, but yeah, absolutely. I think somebody should be looking at this. The league feels that it's been looked at. They claim that nobody said anything or anything else has been like that. They've seen all the emails. They've seen everything. We have not.
How much responsibility do you feel as an owner to ensure that another owner in the league who might be accused and guilty of horrible behavior is not allowed to remain in that position?
That's a really good question, and I'd have to answer that on a case-by-case basis.
Jerry Jones said a moment ago that all the owners were in agreement that the punishment levied against Dan Snyder was adequate. Is that true? How much did the owners discuss the situation, and are they in agreement that Dan Snyder has been held accountable?
I don't know what all the others think.
How much was it discussed at the owners' meetings?
When?
Just over the last 2 days.
As far as the Dan Snyder thing? Mm-hmm. I don't think that it was a major... source of conversation.
And just, can you speak to what Carl Nassib is currently feeling, how he's doing? I know after...
Well, that's something that's very important to me is in the LBGT community. I have the ACES basketball team now, and that is about 90% African-American women with a large LBGTQ constituency and community. And so I feel a very strong affinity for helping in that regard and all that, and Carl as well. Pink is very courageous coming out and playing his ass off right now. So it's pretty good.
Who do you think is leaking these emails?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm hoping you guys will tell me.
Have you looked into it?
Why don't you guys tell me?
All right. Who do you think it benefits?
I don't have any of the answers. I really don't.
Mark, so, if you had to describe where the league is right now after what happened to your team and these emails, how would you describe where the NFL stands?
I really can't describe it. I know where the Raiders stand, and that's where we'll always stand. And that's really all I can speak to.
Mark, what went into your decision to let John coach that Sunday game before then? The decision was made
what it was is, like I say, we found out about it Thursday from the Wall Street Journal. We didn't hear about it from the league. We heard about it from the Wall Street Journal. They wouldn't give us the email at that time, so we didn't really have that. It was a rumor to us. We then spoke with the league. They did say that they had that, and they had other emails. We didn't see those until Friday at that time. And I wanted to do the due diligence. I wasn't going to just rush to judgment on John. And so we went through the process. We talked to a lot of the alumni. We talked to a lot of players. We talked to a lot of the people that were involved in the situation and came to the decision.
Mark, have you spoken to John since he left?
Absolutely, yes.
What are your conversations? How would you describe those conversations?
Well, he's hurt. You know, he's really hurt, and I understand that. But he understands the ramifications of what he said. His family, you know, Deuce Gruden's still working with the Raiders, still the strength coach. And, you know, I love the family of John. And, you know, just things. We all have demons in our lives. And you have to understand that, and then you have to also look at redemption as well.
Did he see? Yeah, he is.
Yes, absolutely.
What were the events of Monday? I know you just explained Thursday, Friday.
Exactly. And then after the game on Sunday, I'd spoken with John, and we said, let's not talk about it emotionally right now. Let's talk about it tomorrow. And we spoke about it during the game Monday afternoon. It wasn't based on any, was it the New York Times article? That had nothing to do with it. There's a lot of things you have to get done. In something like this, you got finance, you got legal, you got all these different things, and talking with his agent, talking with John, trying to determine how we were going to go about it. So that was most of the day on Monday.
And settlement has been reached.
Yes.
When teams go through this sort of thing, sometimes they will start a coaching search in the middle of the season. Are you guys starting your coaching
search? No, we're not. Now? We're not even in that space right now. We're trying to win this season. We've got a good coach. Rich Versace is really a good coach. He's done a good job so far, and we're just going to try to control what we can.
Obviously, Mike Mayock was hired by you know, in part by John, or he was part of the hiring process with him.
Yes.
Where does Mike stand with the organization?
Mike is the general manager of the Raiders.
Do you feel like he's the guy going forward?
I'm not going to speak for the future, but right now he is the general manager of the Raiders, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be in the future.
Mark.
Back to you saying everybody has demons. You know,
yes.
That might be true, right?
Yes,
where's the line of demarcation for ownerships in terms of conducting themselves in a way that's responsible? I mean, you're...
Oh, I think that we always have to control ourselves in a responsible way. There's no question about it. When you're in leadership, it's very important.
So when you see reports of another owner behaving in a way that doesn't align with those standards, why would NFL ownership not come out publicly and denounce
and
that?
And who are you speaking of in particular?
Dan Snyder and the Washington
Post. Oh, okay. Well, I think the league came out and spoke fairly forcefully on Jesus. But again, we weren't privy to any of the reports, anything, per se.
Right. Now
that was handled by the league.
Now that you know, do you feel like ownership maybe needs to take a firmer stance on it, on ensuring that an owner like that that's accused of such things wouldn't be able to show up to games or potentially get back involved with the organization? I mean,
that's a real good question. I don't know. I really can't answer that at this time, but I do think social responsibility is very important.
Mark, do you think it sets a bad precedent that a league investigation into one organization leads to more ramifications for other organizations than that one?
I don't know that that's the case. I don't know. I don't feel that we were targeted or anything like that. I just feel like the timing might have been a little bit off. I think that if we'd have known in July when the league knew about it, or in June when the league knew about it, that we could have done something before the season rather than in the middle of the season.
Do you think Dan Snyder's ownership of the Washington football team should be evaluated?
Again, I don't want to talk about other people, really. Again, I think, you know, the public needs to speak about it. Do I want to speak about it? I don't. I really don't. Not at this time, because I don't know enough. I didn't see the report. I didn't see what went on in Washington. I don't know.
Do you want to see a written report?
Probably, yeah. I think that there should be. Yeah.
Did you like
especially with some of the things that were, charged? Yeah, I believe so. I think people believe that deserve it, especially the people that were, quote, victims.
Do the owners have enough power to urge that kind of report if they agree that that's something that they want, more transparency?
I don't know.
When you found out about the emails, did you ask the league why you weren't made aware of it earlier when they first...
Well, I hadn't found out really until real recently exactly when they did know about it. But I had an idea that they did, and that's one of the things I wanted to, before saying too much, and really I still don't know enough about it to say more, but, you know, I wanted to get all the facts.
Were you given a reason from the league as to why you weren't made aware of it?
No, I wasn't.
Did you or any other owners urge the league in these 2 days of meetings to produce a written report, as you're saying, needs to be done?
Some of that is in a privileged session that I can't even speak about, so I won't.
In privileged or unprivileged session, did you let your thoughts be known, like you are here, up there?
I'm not going to get into that, but thank me, I might have said something.
So there you go, Raider Nation. I thought it was good to hear from him. I played that actually on my show on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Wednesday as well. I played the whole meal deal thing. I just thought it was great to hear from Mark Davis, and I like the kind of not the nonchalant attitude, but the more of the I'm not going to get into it, but then I am going to get into it. You know, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to speak on this. I don't want to say anything on this, but I want to say on this. Like Mark Davis, he moves in his own way, man, and I like it. I respect it. I love that he doesn't care that people talk about his hair or the way he dresses, and you know, people were talking about, oh, he's wearing a starter jacket with a backpack on. So what? Cares? It's crazy how everyone just looks at him and just wants to jump all over him, and he don't give a rip. And that's what I really respect, is that he could walk down the street, he could drive himself in his Mini Cooper, he could do whatever he wants to do and not worry about what you think, what I think, what any other Swinging D thinks. I love that about Mark Davis, and I really do respect it. So hopefully you enjoyed hearing from the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, there in segment number two. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get to that, though, I want to tell you about our good friends at betonline.ag, and you know what time of year it is, right? Basketball is back. Football is going on. College and pro. NHL is back. Boxing, USC, the World Series is going on. BetOnline.ag is your number one spot. They got everything covered that you would need. All you got to do is head on over to the website on your laptop or your mobile device, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but you got to use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and it's where the games start. Segment number three, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You know the number, right? 707-654-4693. Raider Wallace in Scotland, he's going to start us off. He's calling in to reflect on what he saw in the game versus the Eagles and also wanting to hand out a game ball as well. Here he is, Raider Wallace, calling from Scotland.
Hey, Q, it's Raider Wallace from Edinburgh, Scotland. Love the show. Shout out to Raider Nation. I just wanted to reflect on the Eagles game. You know, one of the things that hit me is Henry Ruggs is just making a big impact in games now, and he's got heart, man. I mean, you know, okay, he got called on a penalty, but you know, he's dropping his shoulder and, you know, he's doing it. The other thing was when you've got Max and Yannick on the edges, when they go out, we had Cleve Farrell and Carl Nassib getting after the QB as well, which was great to see. But I wanted to give a big shout-out to Andre James, and for me, he would have got a game ball. Just the intensity he's playing with, he's getting into the second level, getting into the linebackers, and the holes up the middle were fantastic. So there's a lot of real positives right now. We've got some games that are really winnable, so I just wanted to shout out those guys. Much love to the nation. Raider Wallace out.
There he goes, Raider Wallace. And I know I'm turning the page from the Eagles, but, man, I had to get that call in from Scotland. Actually hit us up a couple days ago, and I wasn't able to get it in. So thank you so much for that, man. It's great to hear from you. And, yeah, Ruggs is playing well on multiple levels. Not his penalty he was called for on Sunday. I was a little suspect at best. But, hey, okay, handing out a game ball to Andre James, that's a big deal. He's played a lot better the last two games than he did the first part of the season. He was not very good. He's gotten a lot better in the last couple games. So five games that were so-so or bad, and then two games that have been really good for Andre James. So, yeah, a couple good game balls handed out right there from Raider Wallace. Thank you so much for that call, my man. Appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Raven. Q, it's the Raven from my underground bunker in an undisclosed location. I've heard you state that at the end of the season, the Raiders management needs to perform their due diligence and leave no stone unturned in finding the next head coach. That is a cognate expectation that I am in full agreement with. However, I'm hoping and praying that the person for the job moving forward is Rich Bisaccia. In my opinion, The absolute last thing this team needs right now is to go into rebuild mode. And you know, as a football fan and pundit, that bringing in a new head football coach will result in wholesale changes to the coaching staff and players. As we well know, there's a window to success in the NFL. And when we add the pieces to the puzzle that the Raiders have at the present, a franchise quarterback, solid young skill guys under their first contracts, a young defense on the come up with no one in position to demand Khalil Mack money, competent GM and assistants that are putting together solid units, and add to that team chemistry that cannot be easily duplicated, this window needs to be taken advantage of now. Not three or four seasons from now when a new staff has all their guys in place. Of course, interim head coach Bisaccia must prove his worth, and the second half of the season schedule looks like it's going to be a true test. But no, this is one Silver and Black fan whose heart is in it for Bisaccia and the currently constructed staff to get the job done. That is from The Raven. Lengthy text right there. I do appreciate you. And yeah, you bring up a bunch of good points. And I'm not saying that Bisaccia is not the guy. I'm just saying that the Raiders have to make sure that they do their due diligence on everyone. Hell, they might find a guy that doesn't have to reconstruct it. Just get them over the top. And the example I use, and I use this all the time, is what Steve Kerr did for the Warriors, taking over from Mark Jackson. And as a Warrior fan, I was mad when they got rid of Mark Jackson. I thought, oh no, what are you going to do now? They just started to get good, and now you get rid of them. Now they're going to take a step back. No, Steve Kerr came in and got them over the top. Maybe that could be the situation. Just like when John Gruden went to Tampa Bay, what'd he do? Got them over the top. You know, there's situations like that. Again, I'm not saying you're wrong with Bisaccia. I do think that this team has enough talent to go and get it done. I like the players. I like the makeup. I like the way that they, you know, they think and that they really respect each other and are in it for each other. You just got to make the right decision if you're Mark Davis and you're Mike Mayock. If Mike Mayock is the GM, I mean, you just don't know if that's going to be the case either. I mean, it's a lot of decisions that Mark Davis has to make. Again, nobody's wrong when they're in Team Bisaccia's corner. I'm rooting for him as well. But again, we got to see what he's going to do the rest of the season and how this team really responds to, well, like I said, the rest of the season when the pressure starts getting there. It's not about what you do in September and October. It's what you're doing in November and December and then into January. So we'll see how the rest of the season shakes out. But of course, they're off to a good start, 2-0 right now under Rich Bisaccia. Thank you so much for that text, my man. Next up is a call from Border Jumper Raider. He's calling to talk about what interim head coach Rich Bisaccia needs to do to keep that head coaching job. Then he also talks about players that worked on their craft in the offseason and those who didn't. Here he is, Border Jumper Raider.
Q, Border Jumper Raider, Raider Nation, what's up? How's everybody doing? I wanted to touch on, I've been listening to the podcast. I always listen to the podcast. I listen to it about 1 a.m. every morning, Pacific Standard Time. That's my first listen of the day. My thing was that I heard, what does Rich Bisaccia got to do to keep his, team? Just stack up the wins. Yeah, just, keep doing what you're doing. I think a special team coach actually makes a better head coach because he touches, both sides of the ball. He's not, one dimensional. The other thing is, players like, Max Crosby. Derek Carr, Henry Ruggs, et cetera, et cetera. What did they do to improve their game? That's what they did. They worked on the offseason. So what did Cleve Farrell do? What did Damon Arnett do? They probably sat by the pool, you know, over the winter and the summer, you know, in these warm climate areas. They did nothing to improve themselves. So that's that. They, you know, they're making good coin. They're making good money. Why not invest in it in themselves? That's what Max Crosby did. He invested in himself mentally and physically and nutritionally. You know, he set the standard. He's a good example. And that's what good co-workers do. You push the limits and maybe people around you will take notice and they'll say, hey, you know what? I got to do what he's doing. So that's all I got to say for that. Raider Nation. This is Border Jumper Raider, Raiders.
There he goes, Border Jumper Raider. It's good to hear from you again, my man. Thank you for the call. And Rich Bisaccia just needs to keep stacking wins. And really, that's ultimately what you want. You want win on top of win on top of win, right? And then at the end of the season, you want them to be playing extra games. You know, people hit me up, Q, don't be talking about they only got 10 games left. They got playoffs too. Well, you want to be talking. I want to be doing crossover editions when it comes to the playoffs. I don't want to wrap up the season after the final game of the year. I want to be talking about postseason action. Haven't got to do that as a host of the Locked On Raiders podcast yet. Not one time. When I was at Black Hole Banter with James Arcelana, I got to do it once. That's it. I would love to talk about postseason action, but I'm not going to talk about postseason action until they earn postseason action. So that's stacking wins that Border Jumper Raider's talking about. As far as Cle and Arnett, I have no idea how much work they did in the offseason. I don't want to, you know, throw salt on their name and say that they didn't work. But I think you're onto something when you talk about the work that Max, Yannick, Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards, Derek Carr, all those guys put in. Zay Jones, all those guys put in a lot of work. Hunter Renfrow, all those cats. They put in a ton of work in the offseason. Other guys might not have been as much. You could be onto something right there. Again, I don't know. I wasn't in those parks. I wasn't in the meetings or anything. When they were hanging out together, all I saw is what I saw at training camp and what I saw during the preseason. But thank you so much for that call, my man. Just got time for a couple more. Let's get a text from Andrew the Raider. Hey, Q, let's take it back to a familiar theme here. Do you think we got some alpha dogs on defense this year? Every unit on defense looks night and day different than in years past. Want to know who you would identify as this current team's alphas? Take care, Q. That's from Andrew the Raider. Good conversation. That might be something that I do a whole show about is alpha dogs. Haven't had to talk about those in a while, right? You know why? Because the Raiders have alpha dogs now. There's not a lack of alpha dogs. That's usually what the conversation's about. You just brought up a great topic. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. I'll just say off top, yeah, they got some alpha dogs on defense. They got a bunch of them, in my opinion. Max Crosby's taking his game from where it was a season ago to a whole nother level. Yannick Ngakoue, alpha dog. How about Denzel Perryman, alpha dog? And honestly, I think that Jonathan Abram and Trayvon Merrick, I think they're kind of combining to be one alpha dog. And I know you can't really do that, but Trayvon Merrick compliments Jonathan Abram so well that he's playing at a high level. And Casey Hayward, hell, how about Casey Hayward? And I think Nate Hobbs has an opportunity to be an alpha dog. He's going to continue to grow. I don't think he's there yet. Just like Trayvon Merrick's technically not there yet either, but he's a nice complimentary piece. So like real deal, true alpha dogs, Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue, Denzel Perryman. And you could throw Casey Hayward in there and feel good about the conversation as well. But yeah, man, that might be a real good conversation that we have sooner rather than later. Thank you for that. I appreciate you. Final call is a short but sweet one from Austin in Jefferson City, Missouri. He's calling to ask what I'm seeing when it comes to running back Josh Jacobs.
Hey, Q, it's Austin down here in Jefferson City, Missouri. Sitting here listening to your podcast about Josh Jacobs right now. And, man, I just don't know what you are seeing. I see the run blocking hasn't been quite as good for him. And I think our guy just needs a little time to get healthy and get in the flow of things this season. He hasn't really gotten a chance to get into the flow of the season. Can't get into the flow if you're injured.
And now that I listen back to your call, my man, thank you so much. That's Austin in Jefferson City, Missouri. I think that maybe the call cut out a little bit, but I get the gist of it. You're basically wondering what I'm saying when I say that Josh Jacobs is regressing. Well, there's multiple things that go into factor. One is availability. You just mentioned it. You can't get into the flow of things if you're injured. Well, unfortunately for Josh Jacobs, as much as I like him, again, let's not get it twisted. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show. I was one of the guys pounding the table for Josh Jacobs when he got drafted. I really like him a lot. I really do. Please believe he's just a humble, down-to-earth dude. Like, I really respect the hell out of him. Enjoy talking to him. Enjoy when he's out there playing because he's an absolute monster. No doubt about it. But his rookie year, played 13 games. 2020, played 15 games. So far this year, he's played 5 games. Rookie year, 4.8 yards a carry he was averaging. Second year, 3.9. Third year, 3.4. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. Yeah, he's getting touchdowns. 7 his rookie year, 12 his next year, and 5 so far this year. But if you can't stay in the game, what does it matter? And I'm sorry, but that's just how this business works. It doesn't matter how much people like you. It doesn't matter how much ability you have. You can't get a dub if you're in the tub. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's as simple as that. You've got to be in the game. You got to be like EA Sports and be in the game. I'm not trying to dog him out. I know that his offensive line has been reconstructed. I get that. But you've got to find a way to make it work. You just do. That's what the responsibility is going to be of anyone who's toting the rock in the backfield. I get it. And like I mentioned in the first segment, I'd like to see him play for the Raiders for years to come. I'd like him to play for the Raiders and run the rock for 10 years. That'd be great. But I'm just looking at the financials, and I'm looking at the product on the field, and I just don't see it happening long term. I just don't. I think that he's maybe a guy that plays 5 years max, and then they let walk. And that's what they're doing to running backs these years anyway. 2019, he carried the ball 242 times. 2020, 273 times. 60 times so far this year. He has 575 carries under his belt. Can you imagine what he'll have the rest of this season and 2 more seasons? Probably close to double that. 1,000-plus carries. At that point, the team might say he's not worth the long-term investment. I'm just being realistic. Love the player. Love the dude. Love the story. Love what he brings to the table. But just know the business. I respect the business, and I understand what they'll do in this game. And it happens not just to the Raiders, to every team across the league. They use you up, carry the rock, carry the rock, carry the rock, until you can't carry the rock no more. Then they say, thank you for your services. Now we got some young stud that costs about $1 million. That's it. That's the nature of the beast. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing anything that I don't like about Josh. I like him a lot. He'll tell you that. I mean, he knows that what I think about him. I've told him many times. Great dude. Just not available all the time. That's the problem. So that's all I got for you on today's show. Thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate it. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You know the number, 707-654-4693. We'll have more news and notes of the day, and we'll have one of many subjects that I have to talk about. We're going to close out the week really strong. There's no game to talk about, so that's all right. Got subjects to talk about. Maybe we'll talk Alpha Dogs. Maybe we'll talk some other subject. Who knows? But we will be back here closing out the week on a Friday. So until then, Raider Nation, stay safe. Take care of your family. Love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.